577. It's Friday, May 21st, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Everybody, got a great show for you. I'm in southern Michigan at the birthplace of me. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from Quincy, Michigan, the boyhood home of your geek here at GNC, via the portable Geek News Central studio. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Again, my name is Todd Cochran. I want to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, check out our archive podcast via the podcast link on the website. Well, I tell you, I am here in southern Michigan. It's a little bit rainy this morning, but I am happy to be spending a couple of days with my mom versus being in Honolulu. But I just wrapped up a day of visiting Ford Motor Company in Dearborn. And, of course, if I was that close, there was no way I wasn't going to get home for a couple of days. So I am podcasting today from the kitchen. And I'm going to have a great segment for Geek News Central Insiders. We'll talk about that a little later. But, weather's been just absolutely gorgeous up till this morning. I arrived in Dearborn Wednesday afternoon. It was nice, beautiful, 70 degrees. And the weather stayed good all day yesterday during all the tours. And, of course, you wait 15 minutes and the weather changes here. But it's good to be home in as promised, I told you guys I'd be putting out a show on Friday versus Thursday night. By the time I got in and got everything straightened around, it was just too late. So the gear set up here on the kitchen table. Those of you on Ustream, welcome to the show. I don't know how the video is actually going to do because, really, I'm on Verizon EVDO pushing the Ustream. I'm on Sprint EVDO getting the show notes. My mom is on a wireless connection Wi-Fi that's a 1.5 meg down, 300K up. And believe me, for the country, and we are in the country, that is it's good because up until about a year and a half ago, she was on dial-up. And it's one of these homes in the United States that if the administration says what they're going to do, will bring broadband to rural America. But so far, I think things are holding. Those folks that are on the actual Ustream stream say it looks fine, so we'll see if Ustream holds the connection throughout the show. Hey, if you're new, hey, welcome to the show. And this show's produced every Tuesday and Friday, and released, of course, every Tuesday and Friday as well. And I normally record this out of my studio in Honolulu, normally when people are sleeping and not awake. So glad to do this during kind of a mid-morning show here from Michigan. But if you're part of the Ohana, welcome to the show, Ohana, and thanks for staying subscribed. Of course, we have listeners from 165 countries worldwide, and if you're watching the show either on the Roku or Boxy, we want to welcome you to the show as well. I know we've picked up a massive number of actual viewers, folks that are actually viewing the show via the Roku box. I'm really excited about that. Of course, so we're going to be talking about the announcement yesterday by Google on Google TV and what that means to this show and other folks that are coming. So, of course, we want to make sure that you're aware that you can go over to geeknewscentral.com/offers and lots of offers there as far as different products and services that I find. It's, you're my sounding board. If you find something over there that is something that you don't like or you don't think is a good product or something that you think is an outstanding product, let us know. You can check that out at geeknewscentral.com/offers. As I promised the insiders, and some of you are going to say, what is an insider? Well, an insider is a person that is supporting the show monetarily with a, either a $2, $5, or $10 contribution monthly. Or I think we've got a $20 contribution monthly as well. If you're one of those folks, or you're materially helping the show, like Sam, our the manager of our online store, then obviously you're going to be on the Geek News Central Insider mailing list per se. And what I'm doing here this time is I'm giving you a true insider look of behind the scenes of where I grew up. Little bit about just you're going to get a little bit of everything here, and I think you're going to enjoy the GNC Insider. It's something that I'm going to it's going to be a video, probably be pretty long by the time I walk you through everything. You all know me already through, you know, 577 shows. Many of you do, but this will give you just a little closer look. It's not too late. Get signed up for the Geek News Central Insider by going to geeknewscentral.com/insider. And those that sign up, we thank you for your support. It definitely helps. And, you know, as the goal of the Insider is to replace my salary that I'm currently getting from advertising with Insider donations so that I can hire another full-time staffer here at GNC to bring on more content and do, you know, more of the stuff that you guys like. Let's talk just a little bit about my Ford visit. And I'm going to show you guys there on Ustream the folder they gave us to show you how serious they were. There was about 30 different folks there, and they actually had a folder of information for our virtual reality tour that took place. And I have an amazing amount of video that I'm going to start putting up next week in our special media feed. I was pretty taken aback by what I saw at Ford. And as a disclaimer, Ford did pay for my airline ticket. They did pay for my lodging the night I was in Dearborn. I did pay for my own rental car. And, of course, I don't have to pay lodging staying here at Mom's house. But they did pay me to come out. So as a way of disclaimer, so that everyone knows that. But you guys know from listening to the show now for 5 and 6 years here, that I'll cut to the chase and tell you what was cheesy and what was not, and give you the inside information on what I thought about my tour at Ford. Let's talk a little bit. I guess we started off Wednesday night with a reception. Basically, they fed us, had an open bar. We basically got to know each of the folks that had come out. A lot of car and auto writers. But there really, from what I could tell, was only truly two podcasters and bloggers. Actually, two podcasters. That was Jeffrey Powers from Geekazine.com and myself. We were the actual two that are really only doing a true podcast. Now, there were some other guys there doing video, but I'm not exactly sure what their actual, if they're just going to create that and put up on their website, but they don't do, you know, periodic or a series of content like I do. Thursday morning, we started off in what they call their Vertex Lab, and it's a drive simulator, and I actually got my hand up quick enough and was able to drive the simulator. And what they do is a variety of studies. Basically, they do long-term driving studies. They do distracted driver studies. One of the things they had me do was, as I was driving on the virtual highway in a car that looked pretty real, the drive felt pretty realistic, except as a little soft. The ride was a little softer than what you would experience in a car, kind of like if you had soft shocks almost. And what they had me do is look down like I'd be looking at a cell phone, and then they flashed a series of numbers at you that you would have to read, like 867254, and it was for 3 seconds. And then they had you look back up the road to see how far you had drifted right or left, and they've got lane departure technology now in Fords, and if you start drifting into a lane or drifting one way or the other, they had a series of either audible or actually a physical thing where it actually thumped the back of your leg, letting you know, hey, dude, you've just crossed over into a lane. So they did two or three of those little experiments, and then we drove along, and then they had me do a last one where essentially they put a vehicle in me that had deaccelerated a significant amount, and if I had not looked up in time, there would have been a rear-end collision. Luckily, the reaction time was fast enough. I did not make a fool of myself and was able to stop the vehicle before for wrecking the virtual car. So it did kind of bring a couple things into point for me that those of us that, and I'm not one of those of you or people you know that are trying to dial your phones, trying to send text messages, trying to look away for an extended period of time, it's bad news. And it really brought it home in the simulator, unlike anything you would ever be able to probably test safely in a car. So that was kind of fun. And then we went over to another area where Ford was really talking about their how they have went completely digital. And you guys know like these little ads that they put in magazines. Now here's a picture for those of you on Ustream. Here's a picture of a Ford Edge Sport 2011 model. That's not a real picture. That's CGI. And almost every image that you're going to see that doesn't have a person in it in Ford's materials is a CGI graphic rendered of the vehicle. And we were looking at this wall called the Power Wall, and I asked the guy, is that really not a true picture? And it basically looks like it's in a showroom. The vehicle's lit up. You could not tell the difference. You really couldn't. And he actually flashed between an actual high-res image and the Power Wall image, nearly identical. And I was pretty blown away. So you can almost be guaranteed any of the graphics you see in Ford literature today are more than likely virtual images, and they've got it down to the point where they can actually, and I got a video of this that you guys are going to see that's going to blow you away. They build this sphere of data. They actually can automatically inject reflections onto cars, all kinds of stuff. So what this allows the execs to do, and I think is really smart, is they can virtually mock up a car. Everything's being done digitally today. They virtually mock up a car. Then they bring you into this huge room with these basically huge screens, and it's the equivalent of I don't know how big it was, 60 feet or something was the wall, and they can actually drive a car real time with a mouse, getting the different angles, looking at it from a different perspectives, up, down, behind, you name it. And my mom's doggy is off to chase something. Anyway, you could see the vehicle in all these different angles, and basically this is where cars make the chopping block or approval block on colors, tones. They can change the interior colors on a fly, just boom, they make a change that changes the texture of the dashboard. So Powerwall, which we had, there was big signs everywhere, no video recorders, no cameras. I think from what they were saying, we may be the first ones to actually have been able to film inside this studio. I recorded the whole presentation. Of course, it was me recording a screen, so we'll see how that turns out. But that'll be probably a 4 or 5 series next week that I'll put out on this Powerwall stuff. Very cool. They went to virtual. Actually, we've talked about the virtual manufacturing. Everything now is, you know, done in AutoCAD, which you would expect. They said something like they've reduced the production time of a vehicle from like 5 years to 2.5. Or maybe 3 years, so they tighten the amount of time it takes to get a car from concept to the production line, which has given them a competitive edge. As well, let's see, what else did they talk about? We went to the cave, and what it basically is they use virtual reality, where a virtual reality headset sitting in a mock-up of a vehicle, and then the vehicle is just, you know, they had an F-150 there as the mock-up, but it didn't really look like an F-150. It was just this metal frame, and you guys will see the pictures when I put them up. But it was, for a better word, what they do is through the virtual world, they overlay the actual dash of the vehicle inside. So you're sitting in the vehicle, you got the headsets on, and you can actually see the dashboard of an F-150, and you can reach out, you can touch the radio, you can look at the actual speedometer. So what this allows them to do is to make sure that when you and I buy a vehicle and we get in it, we're reaching for the radio, we can actually reach it. And they bring people in at different heights and statures and all kinds of cool stuff. So anyway, they are able to do ergonomic type stuff in this, in the, what they call the cave. Had lunch in the afternoon, then we went to drive vehicles. And I got to drive the full inventory of Ford cars. Let me give you just a quick rundown real quick on the vehicles that I drove. The Ford Fiesta, 2011 Ford Fiesta that's just being introduced. Snappy little car, a little fun drive, definitely designed for a younger segment. It comes in the manual and automatic. Pretty cute little car, drives okay. I wouldn't want to take a high-speed turn in it at 80 or anything like that, but it definitely is going to be a fun car for folks to drive. I think it starts at $12,300 or something like that, $12,395. I drove both a manual and a stick of the Ford Mustang. Hey, I don't even have to say anything more. That was the car to drive on their short track where they, quote-unquote, the speed limit was 35. and no, I did not squeal the tires at the starting line, Jeffrey. That was not me. I swear that wasn't me that did that. drove the 2011 Ford Transit Connect, and it was basically, it's like a delivery truck. Not sexy, functional. It'll be great for companies and stuff. You'll see these on the street. Not something a family would want to buy, but if you're a little handyman and have like a small business, it might be something to consider. You guys can hear the 12 o'clock music is going off. Drove a Ford Taurus, 2011 Ford Taurus. Nice ride. Really nice ride. What you would expect from a luxury car, it's, I drove a top line, man, what could you ask for? Really nice vehicle. Liked that car a lot. Drove a Fusion Hybrid. That was the first time I've drove one of those, and it handles a little different. It's the center of gravity on it's a little different, so it feels a little different driving, and obviously it's a hybrid, so it's not one of these cars you expect to go to, you know, 0 to 60 and in a fast period, but it had good performance. The two favorite vehicles I drove was the 2010 Lincoln MKT. Wow, and it had this thing called EcoBoost on it. So did the Ford Flex. Now I'm going to tell you something about EcoBoost. I had rented a Ford Flex in Albuquerque. I'd gotten one in Albuquerque on my last trip, and so you know I'm not hard on rental cars. I drive them like normal, you know, just like it would be my own vehicle. So I got in it, and we were on the fast track, and the lady that was one of the designers said, "Todd, I heard you complaining about the Flex not having as much performance as you like." She said, "You know this has got EcoBoost in it." I said, "Yeah." She says, "When we get to the straightaway, I want you to punch it." So basically, in that conversation, I said, "No, what are these buttons here for?" And they have these little toggles on the driver's panel, because I'd seen that on the Ford Flex that I had rented in Albuquerque. She said, "Oh, you put that in manual and you can manually shift." And I'm like, "That's kind of like speed shifting on vehicles." She goes, "Honey," she says, "you don't understand." She says, "You were renting an EcoBoost in New Mexico. How did you punch it? Did you ever step on it?" I'm like, "No." She goes, "Okay, again, when we get to straight corner, or they let us out." She says, "Just hang back. Just let the other cars get ahead of you." And she held me there, and I was like third in line. Of course, the people behind me were getting upset. She says, "Okay." She says, "Get on the straightway. Get it out on the." And when I punched it, it surprised me. It really did. Fellas and ladies, If you want a car with some serious performance that it will really surprise you, the Ford Flex with EcoBoost and the Lincoln MKT with EcoBoost, that's those cars, wow. And the Taurus as well. I don't know what they've done, but a six-cylinder felt like an eight-cylinder in the straightaways. It really, really did. So anyway, I have more on videos. I've already pimped them enough here. So what I walk away with, if I was going to buy a Ford, because I'm older, I would probably pick the Lincoln MKT, the Taurus. If I was having a midlife crisis, I would definitely get the Mustang. And I said the Taurus, Flex, MKT, and the Mustang. So those are probably my four top cars. If you're looking for a good car for your kids, or and if you have the budget to buy a new car, $12,395 on the Fiestas. And remember, the thing that's good is those cars will probably be available as used cars in a couple of years at a good price. So it might be a good vehicle to look at, and of course with all the safety standards. So anyway, that's what happened at Ford. I'll have more, lots of cool videos for you to check out. But a lot of stuff in the technology side I'll cover on the videos. Lots of stuff going on with Ford Sync. I'm excited with where they're going with that. They're really leading the pack on that. So anyway, I do have tech content for you today. I'm going to try to do a quicker show so that I can get out of here and spend time with my mom. But I want to make sure that you get over to cafepress.com/Ohana Store. cafepress.com/Ohana Store. Link will be up in the show notes. Of course, if you have comments on today's show, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. That's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Feel free to blast me an email, voicemail. If there's something that you want answered from Ford, I still have all the contacts over there. I can drop them an email as well. If you're Twittering, make sure that you use the hashtag GNC. If you want to talk to the Ohana and share information about the show, hashtag Ohana, O-H-A-N-A. And my mom saw the decals, Sam, that your buddy had provided at Tweet Decals. She likes the decals. So thanks for those. Okay, let's take care of a little business and let's get into the content. Of course, GoDaddy.com, longtime sponsor here of the show. And if you're looking for a domain name, dedicated server, virtual dedicated server, shared hosting account, whatever it may be, GoDaddy is the place, folks. GoDaddy.com is the place to go to pick up those great domain names, virtual dedicated servers, shared hosting accounts. And the best part of all, you can save a ton of cash, and I mean literally a ton of cash. Ohana members are saving hundreds of thousands of dollars every year by using my promo codes. You can use the promo code Todd to save 10% on your order. Geek5 will get you 15% off orders $20 or more. Todd20 will save you 20% on a one-year shared hosting account. And, of course, ComSale will get you .coms at $7.49 through July 1st. Renew those domains now. The price is going up July 1st because it's an internet-wide increase in the .com prices. It only affects .coms, okay? Be aware of that. And again, thanks for GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here of the show. And really, thank you for supporting GoDaddy and helping me keep the lights on. Hey, we're going to have a Tech Podcast Roundtable tomorrow, 4 o'clock Eastern. If you have time, come over to techpodcast.com. We'll be live up on the stream there. You can join us on GoToMeeting as well. Of course, the event is sponsored GoToMeeting. So we'll be seeing how GoToMeeting handles me being on a little bit lower speed connection while we do the presentations tomorrow. So I hope you'll join us over there for that. Hey, so picture this. You're on a phone with a client or colleague trying to explain something. You know, you're trying to show him a spreadsheet or a PowerPoint. You know, you're trying to explain this again, and he can't see it. You know, that's frustrating. It just doesn't work. So the good news is now they can. You just use GoToMeeting to hold an online meeting. It's so easy. You can set up a meeting in advance or start one on the fly. Everyone just logs into the GoToMeeting.com website and puts your code in there, and they're in. They can see your computer desktop on their computer screens, so you can show them what you're talking about. GoToMeeting, brought to you by Citrix, is the easiest, most secure way to hold an online meeting. And again, it's secure. It has voice IP features. You can see their account, see their screen. They can see yours, vice versa. You guys know I use this on a daily basis. I actually haven't used it today yet, but it is an application is in my arsenal of tools to really do business with. As a listener of this show, you can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. That's a month of unlimited meetings free. For this special offer, visit GoToMeeting.com/techpodcast. Again, a free 30-day trial by visiting GoToMeeting.com/techpodcast. All right, let's go ahead and get into the regular content here. Let me make sure I've covered everything in my quick notes before I start the regular portion of the show. Don't forget to watch us on the Roku. Let's see here. Oh, I didn't talk about that. Well, that's okay. We'll wait. I didn't cover their some like three or four items from Ford. We'll cover those on the next show. Split it up here. Still have a Lenovo ThinkCenter A63 to give away. I'm trying to find out when we can start that promotion. So anyway, hey, don't forget if you're changing or messing with your Wi-Fi, change the SSID to geeknewscentral.com. All right, the news of the day, obviously. You guys knew I would be excited about Google TV and what's going on there. Big, big, big news. Yesterday, it dominated everything. And I've been reading everything I can and what they're doing, and it is as we expected. Google is going to become the 500-pound gorilla. I'm sure Boxy, Roku, I'm sure the folks at the folks at Popbox are probably all trembling today, wondering what's going to happen to their being Google has announced Google TV and initiated with partnership with initially Sony and Logitech. All Sony TVs are coming out this fall. Plus, and of course, everyone, if you've been watching, Mom's been walking around in the background, so I didn't know if you wanted to say hi. So the Sony TVs are going to have Google TV in it starting this fall, and then Logitech's going to have a set-top add-on box that's going to be available. And looking through the material, you know, they're really tying search to the Google TV platform. And along with that, the ability to bookmark channels. So they're going to release an SDK that's going to help webmasters get their sites, first of all, ready for Google TV. Second, you're going to be able to build channels and apps for Google TV, just like we've done for the Roku and Boxy. It's all going to be on the Android platform. They're going to throw in some pretty good processing power at this, so the devices should operate pretty good. And it's going to have Wi-Fi, HTML. It's going to be running on an Intel CE4100 processor. They're going to have it so you can use a keyboard with it, so you're actually going to be able to surf the internet along with watching TV. Boy, oh boy. I mean, it could be big. It really, really could. And it depends on how many companies sign up and get involved with actually making the stuff available. This fall, we're going to have an eruption of ability to watch TV via the internet. This is beyond disrupting. I think we all understand it. I understand it completely because many of you right now are watching this show on the Roku, and we've seen our video views go up well over 1,000%. That's a significant number, well over 1,000%. In just a short time we've had the Tech Podcast channel up on the Roku, video views are through the roof. Now, we've got a number of people today on Ustream. You know, and Ustream generally is a small portion of my, you know, if you look at the number, we've got 12 watching the live stream right now. 99.999% of you still download this show, or maybe 99.95% of you download this show via audio. And you guys know the type of numbers that this show reaches on the audio side. But really, what this is doing, what Google is doing here, is, as I've said for a while now, we've got a level a playing field, this over-the-top TV. We're going over the top of the cable companies. And we're coming in on the TV set now, where no one can tell us how that we can, you know, there are no deals to sign. There's no butts to kiss with the cable companies. There's no licensing. There's no fees. We're on TV and an equal playing field, and it's going to be very linear. You're going to have your Fox, CBS, your HBOs, your Showtime. That stuff's not going away. If people think that's going away, they're kidding themselves. It's a multi-billion-dollar industry. They are not going away anytime soon. But right alongside Fox, CBS, CNN, Discovery, Learning Channel, is Tech Podcast Network, ProMed Network, Travelcast Network, the Blueberry Community, Todd's content, you know, on and on and on and on. For those of you that want to subscribe, you just bookmark us and boom, we're there in your lineup. Truly, it's going to be TV that you're going to be able to pick. And if it is good as I think it's going to be, I'm going to cut my cable television service. It's going to be gone. I'll keep the internet portion and that's it. I don't watch sports except for a little NASCAR, but I can watch NASCAR on NASCAR.com. That's it. You know, I can cut the cord. How many of you will cut the cord if this truly turns out to be as revolutionary or evolutionary as I think it's going to be? And I think what it is while I love the folks at Roku, they've got a great platform. They really do. The folks at Boxy coming out with their D-Link box, which needs to get on the street right now. While those are going to be options, hey, we have to face reality that Google is a multi-billion dollar company. And they can compete on a level playing field with the multi-billion dollar TV industry. And, you know, why do you think Google's been buying up fiber, dark fiber, and building data centers and everything else? They've known that they're going to do this for a long time. You know, if they didn't have this years ago or longer, I would be very surprised. So, you know, Logitech, brand name, Sony, brand name, and whoever other licensing deals they make with other companies, with other television manufacturers, it's going to be beautiful because it's open, and we can almost be guaranteed that no one will be restricted access to the sets. And it's all types of content, A to Z. So if you're not excited about it, you should be. I have been for a while now already with this pending announcement. Now, the Logitech Google TV box was going to be pretty amazing from everything that has been demonstrated so far. Now, it's going to stand, it's kind of like an in-between box. So we'll have to see what this really delves into. But it's going to go in between like your cable box and your cable fright. And somehow they're going to link that in there. I could get more details on that. But they're trying to make it work with as many people's TVs as possible. Meaning, if you don't have a big flat screen TV, but you've got a cable box already in your house, somehow you'll be able to hook it in between. Google says Google TV is a new experience for television that combines the TV that you already know with the freedom and power of the internet. And it's going to have Google Chrome built in. You're going to be able to access all your favorite websites. Again, it's going to be a web browser as well. And it's going to open up your TV to from a few hundred channels to millions. And that's what it's all about. It really is. So very cool. I have links to all this stuff. Now, what I find funny here is, of course, Mark Cuban has weighed in. And Mark's, you know, he understands the power of this and what this can mean for all of us. And his whole point is merchandising through, you know, through these channels. And he says the success of Google TV will come down to one thing, and I quote, page rank. Can you imagine the white hat and black hat SEO battles that will take place as video content providers try to get to the top of the TV search listings on Google TV? Like Google said, there are 4 billion TVs and growing, and the U.S. TV ad market is $70 billion. There's a lot of stake if Google takes off. How well Google does its page rank for this product will have a bigger impact on the success of the product in the TV market than anything else it does. Because what they're going to do is it's going to be a lot tied to search. So hopefully when you search Geek News on the Google TV, you will find Geek News Central. And you can be absolutely unequivocally assured that I will be ready, even if I have to go to the bank to get money, to be on this device. It's that important. It really, really is. So we'll see what happens. But anyway, good article by Mark. I have it linked up in the show notes. All right, let's get off Google TV and move into a couple of other topics today. Hey, the International Space Station maintenance is going on. The spacewalkers did a battery replacement through a 7-hour spacewalk this past Wednesday. They've also added the Russian module to the station, so that is on board now. So looks like the crew is making good progress there on all of its different initiatives and planned maintenance actions that it had to have going on. And a more disturbing note, and you guys, you know, is lately I've just been on Facebook. They're like becoming the evil empire. The Wall Street Journal broke a story yesterday that should make all of you really concerned. And I'm serious here. Boycott immediately. Boycott clicking any advertising in Facebook. Don't do it. Don't do it. Because the Wall Street Journal indicates that Facebook, along with MySpace, along with Dig, and a handful of other, we'd like to know who these other social networking sites have been sharing our personal data with advertisers without telling us. The data shared includes user IDs and other information sufficient to enable ad companies such as the Google-owned DoubleClick to identify distinct user profiles. Some of the sites in question, including MySpace and Facebook, stopped sharing the data, supposedly, after the journal asked them to do it. And this was initially discovered in August of 2009 by researchers from AT&T Labs. And I guess it wasn't until Wall Street Journal contacted them that the changes were made. Now, if they were sharing in the past, what are they sharing now that they've changed their privacy policies? Goes on to say, it appears that Facebook appears to have gone farther than other sites when it came to sharing data. When Facebook users clicked on ads appearing on a profile page, the site would at times provide data such as the username behind the click, as well as the user's profile page from which the click came. If you're looking at your profile page and click on an ad, you're telling the advertiser that you are a Harvard Business School professor. You're telling the advertiser who are says Harvard Business School professor Ben Edelman. So this is nuts. This is crazy. And, you know, in honesty, it pisses me off to think that they would do that or have done that. You know, when you guys download a podcast, and if, you know, we're monetizing it, what we see is if you used a browser, we see if you used iTunes, we see if you used a Zune, we see what state you came from, but that's it. I don't have any way of telling it was you. I don't have any way of telling who downloaded the shows. I have no way to tie personal identifiable information back to you. I don't have a way to go and say, Johnny downloaded the show on his iPod. I don't have a way to do that. I know somebody in California downloaded to their iPod. Amazing. Simply amazing. And by the way, that data never gets shared with the advertiser. We do that for tracking purposes. I don't tell the advertiser that 632 users downloaded show X from such state. They don't get that info. We build demographic profiles as a whole. We take a whole demographic pile and we say, okay, this show reaches an age group of such and such to such and such. You know, 87% of listeners in the United States, 12% are in Europe. Well, you know, we do that, but we don't give them user ID information. We don't give them email addresses. We don't give them profile pages. This has to stop. You get on the phone, and call your legislature. This has to be outlawed. You know, I'm not about legislating everything, but this is ridiculous. It really is. If you give your consent, if you're giving them consent, that's one thing. But there is no way. I look at what we do at Raw Voice. There's no way an individual can ever be identified. Ever. Ever. Shocking. It's really shocking. Okay. Let's move on. I'll get off my mad topic. Let's get into the ridiculous content. The United States is happy with 4 megabits per second as a baseline for all Americans, where Europe, on the other hand, has figured it out, and they're going to be demanding 30 megs for all. As announced, the Grand Master Plan for European broadband is out, and one target leaves the United States in the digital dust, a goal of 30 megs per second or above for all Europeans by 2020. The United States wants 4 megs by all Americans by 2020. Amazing. We're just being, you know, Korea, Japan, we are so far behind. We're being left in the digital dust. We are. We're getting smoked. All this cool stuff on Google TV, all this cool stuff on Roku. You know, I tried setting up a Roku on my mom's home connection here at 1.5 meg, and boy, it's tough. It's not quite handling it. So, you know, it's going to be available to some of us, but not everyone. Hey, let's talk about storage. Google storage for developers take on Amazon S3. This is good news for a lot of us. Google storage is going to cost 17 cents per gig per month, with uploads costing 10 cents per gig and 15 to 30 cents per gig for downloads. Initially, Google storage will only be available to a limited number of U.S.-based developers as they're rolling it out. But Amazon, at the same time, came out with price cuts on S3, offering weaker reliability guarantees for a lower price. Amazon reduced reliability storage offers 99.99% reliability for 10 cents per gig compared to S3's normal price of 15 cents per gig. And to be honest with you, most of you could probably go to that reduced reliability and not have an issue. 99.99 is a pretty high reliability factor. Amazon's pricing structure also offers discounts for heavy users. So we'll see if there's a little competition in the marketplace over time. We'll see what Google does on if they're able to compete with Amazon. The pricing right now, they're not competitive, but that could change with time. So we'll see what happens. But cloud computing, baby, that's where it's at. Hey, one more piece of space news. NASA's Mars rover has set a longevity record. Remember back in 1982 when they were trying to make some changes to the Viking 1 lander. The whole NASA team, by mistake, sent some code that erased the ability of Viking 1 to reposition its antenna to call home to mama. And the Viking was never heard of again. Well, today, the Mars Exploration Rover Opportunity, which landed on Mars on January 25, 2004, became the longest-lasting earthly visitor to ever be on the Martian surface. It's still going strong after 2,247 sols, or that's the equivalent of Martian days. And remember, it was designed to last for 90. I think the taxpayers got their money's worth out of that one. Opportunity continues to make its trek. It's on an 8-mile trek to a sand dune of some sort. And so it's continuing to make that trek. We know what's going on with Spirit. We know Spirit's on the other side, stuck in the sand, and probably at its final resting point. But Mars Rover Opportunity continues to cruise along. Let's see here. Okay, next article up. For every report from Firefox, and that for every new Chrome user, there are now 2.5 new Firefox users. The folks at Mozilla, in all honesty, they better get busy. Because, as I have found, Chrome is much less a memory pig than Firefox is. And with Google on the march they're on, they're going to have to stay pretty proactive, or there's going to start being some impact to Firefox base. So, but still, more of you are using Firefox than you are Chrome. Another big announcement this week, of course, was, and hey, you heard it here first. You guys heard it here first. This is something I predicted many, many months ago. This is prediction has come true. This is one of many predictions that have come true. Google announced royalty-free WebM video. So I told you that with H.264 approaching an impasse in 2015 with having to pay royalties for H.264, I told you that Google or someone would announce an open royalty-free video codec. VP8 is the codec in question. When they Google has released the WebM video and the release of the VP8 codec is going to be released as an open standard. And this came about with the purchase of, who did Google purchase? Some company called On Something. Let's see if I actually have a link to that. I don't think I do. But this doesn't come without some challenges, though. There could be some patent challenges to the VP8 format and WebM. So we'll see what happens here. But at least at this point, well, actually, who Google bought was On2. On2 was developed by On2 developed VP8. And they said they had done a pretty good analysis, Google had, that this would not be contested. But I have not had any chance to experiment with this codec. I don't even know if there's any compilers out there available for it yet. But this is good. And Google's going to be promoting this. They're going to be making all videos on YouTube available in this format as well. And the thing about it is, they got Google's lawyers to fight any patent infringement. And if there becomes a time where there's a patent settlement, they've only got like $450 billion or whatever it is in the bank to pay some penalties if they have to. So, you know, they'll just litigate this and they have to pay, they pay. And we'll see. Number, but they got a big bank account. And this is good for us, that was those of us that were worried about the H.264 licensing issue that was going to happen in 2015. Of course, the license consortium for H.264 could come out and make some changes as well, but that doesn't appear to be the case at this point yet. It's being said that Apple is selling more iPads than Macs at the moment, and some analysts are a little bit concerned about this. They say they're selling a ton of iPads, which is impacting, may start to be impacting actual Mac sales. So we'll see. They're moving currently about 200,000 iPads per week compared to 110,000 Macs, though it still trails the iPhone, which is apparently selling up to 246,000 phones a week. That's just a huge number. It really is. And, of course, version 4 of the phone's coming sometime next month as well, so we'll see what happens there. I guess I didn't get these articles in a row. Steve Jobs was not impressed with Google's new video format announcement, of course. You know, they've bet the farm on H.264, so we'll see what happens there. There are some analysis on the Google announcements this week. Of course, the Google TV wasn't the only thing announced. But people are saying, based on what Google has announced in the new initiatives for Android, is that Google's done playing catch-up. Today, they feel that Google is now setting the agenda with this new announcement of Android Froyo, F-R-O-Y-O. Their mobile ad platform and streaming media, by endorsing Flash, that they feel, many of the analysts feel, that Google is now going to be setting the pace on smartphone development. And we know that Google has been, you know, having really a frantic period of catch-up. So we'll see what happens here with these new announcements and with the new initiatives Google has announced. But they've ratcheted up in many quarters, released handset manufacturers to basically say they can tether whenever they want to. They're not trying to hold their hands and saying you have to allow tethering immediately, which is not, in my opinion, such a smart thing. We know how AT&T and other manufacturers have been so hesitant to allow tethering on many phones. But, you know, this week Apple TV has obviously been destroyed. There's no such thing as Apple TV anymore. It's just they, you know, Apple had such an opportunity, but they blew it. And their little walled garden and their control of everything, they're going to have to do something significant, something really out of the Apple comfort zone to catch up. Not saying that they can't, but we'll see. We'll see what happens with this. Well, on the legislative front, the bloggers are starting to give the FTC a little bit of heartburn. Of course, the FTC is the Federal Trade Commission. appears... Oh, don't you do this to me. Google Chrome has stopped working. A problem has caused the program to stop working correctly. Windows will close the program and notify you if a solution is available. So I'm going to lose my Chrome here, so we'll see how long it takes to reload. Oh, it was Shockwave Flash that crashed. Imagine that. Fail. Ultimate fail. Fail. All right. It's not crashed yet. I see the hard drive spinning. We'll see what happens. Anyway, what's happened with bloggers that are being interviewed by the FTC in the upcoming Google acquisition of AdMob Incorporated? Apparently, they've been interviewing a bunch of people on their staff, and it turns out that the bloggers are publicizing that. And the Federal Trade Commission doesn't like the bloggers, publicizing their interview. I guess they're legally they're able to talk about it, but this is the first time ever that people that are being interviewed by the FTC is actually, they're actually going through and, blogging about everything that happened. So a little bit of a challenge for the folks over at FTC right now. So it's all about new media, baby. All right, let's talk about Seagate and some things they're doing here. Seagate is planning to launch a new hybrid solid-state drive / hard drive in ASUS ROG G73GH gaming laptop. Now, this is something they actually announced a long time ago, but it never really took speed. What they're going to do is they're putting a NAND flash chip, a 32-meg flash chip, excuse me, a 4-gig SLC NAND flash chip and a 32-meg cache on top of and included in a 7200 RPM 500-gig 2.5-inch SATA hard drive for $133.45. And what this is going to do is, they say, increase the performance of a standard 7200 RPM hard drive by 150%. Seagate is claiming that the Momentus XT will boost system performance up to 150%. What does that convert to? Well, apparently being 80% swifter than ordinary 7200 RPM hard drive and 20% faster than a 10,000 RPM hard drive, though still 6 seconds slower than a dedicated SSD drive, but at a much lower cost. So $135 for a 500-gig hard drive with this memory chip on it. That, my friends, is going to sell a huge amount of hard drives and space the gap until SSD prices come down low enough where we all can afford to buy huge SSD drives to go on our machines that have the ridiculously fast speed. So keep an eye out for this Momentus XT hard drive. And when are they going to actually release it? Does it say when they're going to have it available on the street? Is it available now? Let me look. See if they talk about shipment. Maybe someone can actually look and see if they're actually available for sale right now. Actually, no, they're going to announce it with the ASUS ROG G73JH gaming laptop whenever that becomes available. So we should be able to buy those at retail right around that same time frame. So I don't have a time for you. Apparently, Google has launched a web-based iTunes competitor called Yep. Not called Yep. It's the Froyo. We talked about that a little bit. Froyo is coming soon. It's a download app through the Android market over the web. And it will automatically down on your Android device, too. But it also shows off a music section, which would make an iTunes competitor out of Froyo. I'm sure I am announcing this wrong. F-R-O-Y-O. But Froyo or something like that. But very, very cool. Music store available. Hey, and you know what? I bet it won't have all that DRM stuff either. Travelers, if you're going to Australia, be forewarned. If you get searched by the customs agents and you have some, adult material on your laptop, be prepared. Be prepared that you may be detained or deported. So if you're traveling with adult material and you're going to Australia, or if you're coming to the United States, because they can do that in the United States as well, it might be a good idea to clean off the adult material before you enter the country or go through customs at least. If not, in your hard drive or phone is detained with you, be prepared to probably have a very unpleasant visit with Australian customs officials or even United States customs officials. All right, that's it for regular content. Let me go ahead and get into the emails today. Didn't have any voicemails for the show. If you want to call in and have comments on today's show, call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365, 619-342-7365. And he says, Todd, Matt here, the guy that gave you the IMAP suggestion, I'm looking for a good description of a nofollow. Hey, Matt, if you go to my website at geeknewscentral.com and you load the source code up and you look at the ads on the sidebar, you're going to find nofollow codes in the website, if that's what you're referring to. I don't know if that's exactly what your info you're looking for, but I think so. Got an email from Adam. He says, hey, Tad, my name is Adam from New Zealand, but living in Malaysia, and my wife is Malaysian with a Chinese background. Is this? Hang on here. I'm goofing up. Looked at the date on that. Helps if I sort by date. All right, let's back up. Got an email from Kevin. Hey, Kevin, I found your podcast on Zune. Really enjoy the Zune software. I was wondering, how do you get a podcast on Zune? I've submitted a feed and have had no luck. I know people have been podcasting for a year, and Zune still hasn't put up their show up. Is there any special tricks or methods to get on there? I know there's a strong group of listeners using Zune, want to add my show on there. Appreciate any help and keep up the good work. Kevin, you send an email to rob@zune.net. Okay, rob@zune.net. He's the guy that manages the Zune podcast directory. Here's the key. Make sure you got good artwork, you got good description, your RSS feed is valid. Make sure all your stuff in your RSS feed is right, okay? Because if you've got issues with your RSS feed, you're not going to get added. So make sure you've done all your homework on your RSS feed. Run it through feedvalidator.org. Just make sure, again, good description, good keywords, good album art with legal size, 600 by 600 or 300 by 300. Pixels. Again, description, good title, all the stuff that needs to be in your RSS feed, make sure it is, okay? And if you're using our PowerPress plugin, if you've got all the fields filled in, you should be fine. Got an email here from Trucker Tom. He says, hey, Todd, study shows that Viagra may be linking to hearing loss. Okay, so fellas, we don't hear already, right? We have selective hearing when we want to. If you're taking that little blue pill, it could be affecting hearing loss. I won't go any deeper into that article, but I'll have the link up in the show notes. Thanks for that, Trucker Tom. Where do you find this stuff, dude? Some of this stuff is so good. I have no idea where you're finding this. Artificial life breakthrough announced by scientists. Artificial life has been created. Scientists in the U.S. have succeeded in developing the first synthetic living cell. Researchers constructed a bacterium's genetic software and transplanted it into a host cell. The resulting microbe then looked and behaved like the species dictated by the synthetic DNA. The advance published in Science has been hailed as a scientific landmark, but critics say there are dangers posed by synthetic organisms. The researchers hope eventually design bacterial cells that will produce medicines and fuels and even absorb greenhouse gases. Email here from Bill out of Coastville, Pennsylvania. He said, hey, Todd, here's a good article that shows how the iPhone is not the end-all in smartphones, as many seem to think. Believe me, if I was up for an upgrade from Sprint, I would be getting the new Evo 4G next month. And I saw this video, too. I agree, Bill. But remember, 4G is still in limited markets, even with Sprint. If you live in Texas, if you live in some eastern seaboard states, and in California and Hawaii, you can get a 4G phone that will work in those areas. But largely, anywhere, the quickest way to figure it out, go to clear.com, and look at the actual 4G map, okay? Verizon is racing to get LTE out. They're a little bit behind still, but still, widespread 4G is not available in many places in the country. Got an email from Jason saying, hey, Todd, you had mentioned the past podcast. Jason, you select something from the show, from the, you know, pick up a couple items, whatever you want from the Ohana store. Send me the items that you want. Just send me the links to them. I'll get them ordered up for you for your submission on the iPhone developer. It would be an iPhone developer number 3, okay? He said, also, just a side note, I recently submitted an update for one of my apps to the App Store, and since it was updated, no one, not even me, can download it. You get an error on the phone and in iTunes. I've been trying to get a hold of someone from Apple for almost a week. I've emailed the one actual email address I found and filled out 2 online forms for Tech Assist and have had no responses. I'm getting emails every day from angry customers and bad reviews on the Canadian App Store, which is obviously hurting my sales. I finally found a phone number to call. They can't actually put me in touch with them. They just told me to email it in a different address, and he would do the same to try to escalate it. That just sucks. You know, Apple, ultimate fail on this. You know, it's issues like this costing you money, time, angry customers. If anyone has a contact in the iPhone store, Jason needs a contact. Email me, and I'll forward it to Jason immediately, please. Another email here from Trucker Time said, Todd, here's a link to a CBS News video that documents a widespread problem that most people aren't aware of. Most modern copy machines contain a hard drive that end up collecting hundreds of thousands of documents. Typically, when these copies are resold, the hard drives contain all the image, which can include all sorts of confidential documents. Whoo! IT managers better be ripping those copy machines apart. Hey, Todd, please tell us more about your new auto recording machine from Sweetwater. Specs, audio card, or interface? What was recommended? What did you choose? Brian, I'll do that on the next show when I'm home. It just got in, and I haven't even installed the software on it yet, so I'll let you know, okay? David, we'll see you Saturday at the Coldwater Meetup. We're going to be meeting again 6 p.m. Applebee's in Coldwater, Michigan. If you're in striking distance, please come. Dinner's on me. And I've got to leave the house at 3:30 a.m. on Sunday. So we're going to probably wrap it up between 9 and 10 o'clock if people want to stay that long. But be there 6 p.m. on Saturday for the meetup. David, we'll see you there. I know Andy McCaskey's going to be coming up. I know that we've got 4 or 5 other RSVPs. Huh? Michael Dell's coming. We've got Barry Kantz is coming, and one other listener from Grand Rapids. So we're going to have a pretty good crowd. So I hope to see you guys tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, 6 p.m., Coldwater, Michigan, Applebee's. You can Google it, find it, get the address. We'll see you there. And be wearing your Ohana wear if you have it. And I'm going to try to get a number into Applebee's to make sure we have a seat, okay? So enough, you know, big enough table and everything. So if you haven't sent your RSVP in, please send it now. Near, I think this was on the last show. No, it wasn't. Near, unfortunately, I did not win a Roku, but it made me look further into the product. Do you know whether Roku can be used out of the United States? Don't know. I really don't know, Near, if it can or cannot. And again, I'm actually going to forward this to the Roku folks, and we'll find out from them. All right, everybody, that's it. Hey, not bad, an hour and 3 minutes for an on-the-road show here at Mom's House. I hope you enjoyed the show. Those of you on Ustream, thanks for hanging out with me. The Undecided, don't know if I got your email or not. If you just sent it, if I didn't read it during the email stuff today, I didn't get it, so I was just responding from the chat room. Again, if you have comments on today's show, geeknews@gmail.com. Call the voicemail hotline, 619-342-7365, 619-342-7365, and we will get your comments and your emails on the air on the next show. I'll be back in Honolulu for the next show. Actually, going to be in Honolulu for a while. Woohoo! Be home for a while. So look forward to bringing you that. We're still going to be in Rochester, New York, middle of June. It looks like that is on, folks. So if you're in Rochester, New York, or within striking distance of it, middle of June, I think what we're going to do, let me look at the calendar here, and I think I'm going to leave it up to Sal. Sal's going to, hey, you guys remember Sal? Sal's a longtime listener of the show, and he's going to set up a place. We'll probably meet Friday, the 18th of June, at a location of Sal's choosing in the Rochester, New York area. So if you're in striking distance of that, put that on your calendar. I may be in Texas again for one final trip for a long time, the week of June 7th as well. So I'll keep you advised on that. Otherwise, at home for at least 2 weeks, which this year so far has been a long time. And then I think July, I think I'm going to be home the whole month. So keep my fingers crossed there. But hey, everyone, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being part of the Ohana. Thanks for being part of the family. And hope you enjoyed the show today. Now it's on to me spending some time with Mom and taking care of things here. I'll be on your Ustream. Thanks for hanging out as much. And until next time, everyone, take care and aloha.